Om Shanti. I'm not going to introduce you to the two speakers because I think you know both of them. I'm going to introduce them to you as I experience them. I think that's more interesting. Okay. I think when I came to Gyan, I think by age, of course you don't talk about age, I'm actually older than both of them, I think. Okay. And one interesting thing which I never took interest in is actually horoscope. But I know they are all born Taurus, right? And I'm a Taurus. Okay. That actually attracted me knowing Taurus. I never went into horoscope. But I did know, and everything that happens in drama, this is purpose. I look at it from a point of view. And I look at the qualities of a Taurus. Determined, opposite, being hard-headed. Okay. Determined to convince people about the truth by the experience of their lives. And I said, good. They're also dependable. And so as I grew in Gyan, I actually watched this too. I said, I have a little bit common with this in terms of birth signs. I also have certain qualities that I shared with them. They don't know. I know both of them. They don't know me. Okay. And I think it inspired me in that sense. Another thing is actually because they actually bridged the gap between the Eastern and the Western philosophy, in a sense. I'm born Catholic, grew up in a Catholic school, a Catholic country like the Philippines. And I'm looking towards learning more about the other experience in the world. And so both of them are actually, in a sense, stands for both, right? And it was, for me, an interesting thing. If I would learn Eastern philosophy from a white, I would not believe it, because they learned it from books. But if I learned it from a person who actually lived, brought up by Hindu families, and then understand the truth and refine the truth for me, then I believe them. And when I even believe them more when they actually practice what they have learned. And that's how I knew them, because every time I'm with them, that's what I observe. They are wiser than me in many ways, but I'm older at least in age. I think by a few months. But at least a year with Sister Janti. So, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to introduce to you our senior sisters who are actually instrument. There's something about them that made Baba chose them. Their determination, their courage, that's what Taurus is. They're being motherly in a way, and at the same time also being strict in a way, but gentle in a way, in being strict, balanced with that. That is what they are for me. I look at them from a distance, I interact with them, and every time I'm with them, I learn something that I could inculcate as an instrument of my own country. So welcome our two sisters, Sister Janti and Sister Manda.
Thank you, Becky. I wasn't expecting all of that. And I don't think Manda was either.
No, I wasn't expecting that either. Yes, thank you, Becky. But I should say it's also, this is a new experiment for the two of us too. Sister Janti is my big sister. She's my RC and she's my senior sister. And I said to her, I'm not sure if this is the way it should be, but she reckons that we both know each other well. So we should be able to be open enough of our thoughts and experiences. It's not meant to be an interview as such, but it might become that.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot in that little bindi to share with everyone.
Well, I shared a lot yesterday as well, so I might have just exhausted myself of the information that I have.
So, who is God? I think for me, it was only through the experience of soul consciousness and not just the knowledge of the soul. But I was very lucky. Very first day, I had an amazing experience of the soul. And once I could experience the soul and believe that this is who I am, I hadn't spent time thinking about it prior to that. But it was such a powerful experience that when I went back the next day for the second lesson, and it was introduced to me in a very, very simple way. God was not a mystery anymore, because going to convent schools, so we do share something there again, until the age of 11, from 4 to 11 is a long time, very formative period. When I'd ask about the Trinity in particular, the answer that I got was, it's a mystery. And it made no sense to me. How can God be the Father and the Son and so on and so on? But then Hinduism, and I couldn't relate to all the rituals I could see that were happening. I was lucky because in London, growing up there, I was isolated from that. My mother was a Rajyogi, so she didn't have rituals. She meditated and read the Murali, and I knew that that's what she did. But when I'd come to India and I'd see all my cousins go through all these amazing rituals, and then I'd ask them, well, what is all this about? And so often I'd get the answer, well, this is what we've been told. We've been told to do this. And so they said, talk to a pandit. The pandit wasn't very helpful because it's written in the scriptures. So there was nothing really that I could hold on to that made me believe that there is a God. But soul consciousness, and then a simple understanding of God as a being of light, and again, magic. I actually experienced Baba very, very early on. And so that's how I've come to believe that God is a point of light, God is a being of light. And today when I'm with interfaith people, or people who are not necessarily interfaith but are connected with many traditions, and they also quote to me things that they say are from their scriptures, and that God is a being of light, I still feel that joy that yes, there's something of that truth in all the scriptures somewhere, hidden away, but it's somewhere there.
I think that's interesting, because for me, as I was growing up, I spent part of my childhood in India from the age of 8 to 13 and a half. And I really wasn't religious as such, but I loved going to the temples in the evening, and the bells ringing and the atmosphere and the energy would really pull me. And I wasn't really religious. And then we went to England at the age of 13 and a half, and I, my sisters used to do this fasting that you do, the young girls do this fasting to get a good husband or whatever, I don't know. But I was the eldest, and my two younger sisters were doing this fasting, but I wasn't doing it. They were going to the temples, but I wasn't going to the temples on a Sunday morning, both of them. In fact, Rohini, my younger sister, who's not a BK anymore, she used to go more than myself or my other sister, who is a BK. So I didn't really have a curiosity, but my first experience was of meeting Avyat Bhattara. And so when I came to Madhuban for the first time, I didn't come as a committed BK. I was hearing so much about people coming back from Madhuban and sharing these incredible experiences. So I thought, I want to see this. So I came to Madhuban, and I remember sitting in front of Baba. It was February, you were there actually, and there was a very small group of double foreigners, because the double foreigner season in those days was January and December because of the holidays, and wasn't such big groups. So I was there in February, and there was a small group of us sitting in front of Baba. And I remember my experience of Baba scanning the group in this way. And as Baba's eyes just swept past me, it was really just sweeping past me. It was this incredible experience of a sense of belonging and the feeling that this is my Father. And why I'm sharing that is because while I agree that God is a point of light, and I'm also relieved to know this, that it's not a physical figure of some kind. But for me, still, it can be a bit theoretical to think that God is a point of light. As a piece of information and understanding, it's great. But I think that it has to get to a point where it goes beyond that, in the sense that there is a practical experience. And actually, to be really honest, I don't remember a point of light anymore. I used to, a while back, Baba said, you can't remember a point of light. And I believe also that you can't remember a point of light. You can for a certain amount of time. After that, it becomes a bit technical and intellectual. So how would you say, I have my own sense of how I remember Baba now, but how do you remember Baba? As in, well, beyond the point of light, or more than the point of light?
Because I'd had that experience of yoga before coming to Madhuban. I mean, through childhood I was meeting Brahma Baba and I thought he was a lovely person. And it was a feeling of paradise being in Madhuban. Pandav Bhavan was small, everything was little, and the family was 30 people who were Madhuban Nivasis, and there were 6-8 people in Daddy Janki's group, so everything was very close and intimate. And meeting Baba in Baba's room, meeting Baba in the classroom, it was lovely. But for me, it wasn't God, it was love, but no Gyan.
Right.
And so then when I understood the Gyan, when I was ready to understand the Gyan, and then I had these experiences just in yoga, without anyone else being involved, no drishti, no nothing, it was a very powerful confirmation for me that, yes, this is the truth. Soul and God make a lot of sense to me and I can experience it. I come to Madhuban and my whole experience changes, because now Baba's giving me drishti, and the drishti is pulling like a magnet, pulling the soul, taking me to Paramdham. And that's when I fell in love with Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba. And so when you say it's technical point of light, I understand what you're saying. But for me, when I think of Baba, there are beautiful memories with Avyakt Baba, but for me it's Bap Dada, Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba. And even in the subtle angelic form, I have the experience of Brahma Baba, the angel, with me, guiding me, helping me, supporting me. And then the words that Avyakt Bap Dada has spoken, the drishti that Avyakt Baba has given, the silence that Baba generated, even with 25,000 people, all these are etched into my heart.
Right.
And so 50 years of sustenance through Dadi Gulzar has been incredible. And I've had every bit of that 50 years of experience, right from 21st January 1969, when I was sitting just behind Didi and Dadi, and first Dadi Gulzar's eyes open, and it was very powerful drishti. And I wonder, is it Dadi? And within a moment it's clear it's not Dadi, it's Baba. And there'd be no expectation or imagination that Baba could actually come in another trans messenger in that way. And so that powerful drishti for half an hour, I can never forget that. And how Baba captured 700 people, half of whom were standing outside in the cold and only half were sitting. And the power of the drishti was such that even though only the first few rows could hear what Baba was saying, the rest of the hall couldn't hear, people outside couldn't hear, but there was total stillness. Everybody was just focused. So that's Baba's power.
So this is interesting, actually, because what's become increasingly important for me is to be able to understand this so that I'm able to generate experiences for myself without the support of the external. And as time goes on, as we've seen, so much is changing. From the time when you're talking about Brahma Baba, which I didn't have the fortune of, but of course personal meetings with Avyakt Bap Dada, and really these incredible experiences that you're talking about, I can relate to those too. And words, you know, it was like I would think about something and Baba would say what I've been thinking about. Personally, universally in terms of Gyan is one thing, but just me personally thinking something about something and Baba would just home straight into that and address that. And so for me what's been important to be able to generate some, and then the dadis, Madhuban is different, the dadis are not there anymore. So for me it's become important that actually I need to learn to create these experiences for my own self. And therefore, for me, understanding is also very important. So what I'm trying to get at is that there are, for me, two aspects. One is this universal concept of God. God as this this ocean of love, this subtle being, this point of light, who's concentrated in this point of light, but the vastness of that energy is absolutely enormous. And whilst I also believe now that God is not a mystical being, in bhakti, people continue to pursue the mysticism of God, and that in itself makes them feel good that God is this mystical being. But for God, for us, God is not such a mystical being anymore, because we experience this incredible subtlety, vastness and purity and truth in terms of vibration and energy. So what I want to actually explore is that one is that, then the other is that being manifested for us at the confluence age now through Brahma Baba. And so, but for me the two experiences are different, in the sense that there are times when I experience Baba completely, Shiva Baba, as this energy and this absolute truth. And then there are times when that truth but being manifested, or I experience Baba sometimes through you, sometimes through Dadi, sometimes just through this picture, sometimes events that are occurring, because the time is that, the time is the confluence age, and that God's role at this time is to be present in a very personal way, in a personable way as well. And I wonder if you can also throw some light on this, that it's not, I used to doubt myself. I used to doubt this universal experience of God, because I was feeling that I was betraying. I was betraying Brahma Baba. I was betraying that I should only be experiencing God here in this way. But I feel that there's a possibility of both of these experiences now.
Well, I've never had a dilemma with both of these, because I was experiencing both through Brahma, but also I was experiencing that being of light in Paramdham. And so when today Baba talks about being the mother, the father, the teacher, these are very human elements. And so how is God my teacher? It's not a point of light up in the sky or beyond the sky. It's the role that he has played through Brahma Baba. And I say Brahma Baba because Baba told us on the 21st of January 69, somehow that Murali is etched, you know. Baba said, the 18 chapters of the Gita have been given to you already, but you haven't practiced them. So now you're being given time for revision to practice. And yes, Baba's going to come for as long as you need it. And Baba's going to come to clarify things, support you, entertain you. That word caught my attention. I thought, why should Baba come to entertain us? And then through the years in Shantivan, I realized that Baba's role was more the entertainer, for playing to the gallery. Mm. 25,000 people, making them laugh, making them, you know, applaud, leading the way in a sense. So Baba was very much the entertainer at that time. But the teacher really is the teachings that have come to us through Brahma Baba, the 18 chapters of the Gita. The role of mother, the role of father, again, I've experienced that in a very real way through Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba asking us, I was 16 years old, and Baba saying, child, if you're not used to chapati, should Baba get some bread from the bakery for you? Would you like to have some biscuits? Baba can organize that. Now, you know, I told Baba I was used to chapatis, no problem. But now that's a mother. Mm. It's a mother's love and concern, taking round the embers, the smoking embers with the spices on top that could chase away the mosquitoes. Baba took me on tour with him, and we went to every room and put the smoke under the in the room and under the beds to chase out any bugs that might be there. Now, that's not the traditional father role. It's very much the mother role.
Mm.
But of course, the father, the one showing me the way, explaining what I needed to do very, very clearly. So I've always felt that Sangam Yoga, and it's the only time we have the possibility of God actually in a practical way being the mother and father and so on and so
it's
on.
It's true, but I also, my own sense also is that it's Brahma Baba too.
Yeah.
That as an individual, mm-hmm. and I'm Indian, so I'm not kind of knocking any of it, but I do see that in the Murali there are lots of cultural connotations as well, because I've grown up in India, and so I know how parents speak to their children, how grandparents speak to their children, and I know that in the West it's not quite like that. You have to tread very carefully, even with your own children, and when you don't, then children don't like it. So my sense is that actually it's also Brahma Baba's cultural heritage that's coming through the Murali, and sometimes I feel that for Baba's double foreign children, it's helpful for them to know that there are these cultural connotations that are being expressed as well. But also, my sense now, and again, it's something that I was telling a group of people, I was taking class in Pandav Bhavan with the Mount Abu Nivasis the other day as well. And I remember Daddy saying to us, and perhaps it's not the same time for everyone, we've all on a different journey, and at a different level. And I remember Daddy saying to us many years ago that actually ultimately, no mother, no father, no teacher, no one. Ultimately, it's God, the incorporeal, that is the one with whom you have a connection. And all of those roles merge. And my sense is that now is the time, actually. And now I'm not saying to people that, you know, don't make the effort for that. I also sense that when I listen to the Murali, Baba is teaching me, you know, like again, I was telling the class in Pandav Bhavan, that I feel like, you know, when a child is being taught by the parents everything, how to eat and how to walk and how to sleep and how to talk, and that's what Baba does for me even today. And I may have learned it all, but if I slip up, then it will come up in the Murali. And Baba is teaching me that. But now, especially when we're seeing Avyat Bhaktada's role is not there, Dadis are not there anymore, we're really getting to a point where really to be held by just that one being, no one else and nothing else. While I absolutely love Madhuban, you know that, and I'm here for 2 months this time, and there's no question for me, but I sense that I have to learn to go beyond that too now.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to be wherever I am, however I am, to be able to connect with Baba.
On the one side, I was thinking about the role that I've experienced through Brahma Baba, and yes, definitely it's Bab Dada together. But the other is where in yoga, I'm having a conversation with God, and it's not, again, dry, but it's a very loving conversation, and I'm feeling God's love as the mother nurturing me, sustaining me, God's love as the father and so on. So the different stages that we can experience in yoga, I think that relationships with Baba, with God, without the human instrument, I think that's part of my journey of yoga, of establishing everything in the context of one.
Mm.
And then the next stages that Baba's been talking about and spoke about this morning as God the seed. And so Baba very clearly was defining the two separate things. So you spin the discus and you're churning gyan and it's making you ever wealthy, but it's your yoga with the seed that's going to make you ever healthy and so free from disease. And in that sense, not physical disease, but Baba's talking about the illnesses of the mind. And so this aspect of ever healthy, it took me a long time to understand that Baba's talking about the diseases of the mind and health in the mind. Because most of us don't have a healthy body at the moment. And so yoga, ever healthy? Well, even the dadis, we've seen them go through all sorts of things and still do. But ever healthy now means to me the soul free from all illnesses. So it means that stage of complete purity.
Mm.
So ever healthy to me now, I understand it differently. And so that's what it means. And Baba spoke about it today. And so that stage where actually my sins are being burnt, where my accounts are being settled, you're putting it in a context of time, and I'm putting it in the context of the stages of yoga that we have to learn to develop.
Mm.
And so yes, I need to go through the stage of churning, I need to go through the stage of experiencing the qualities of the self, the qualities of God. I need to be able to develop all relationships with one. But then finally, just the seed and the power of love that's going to purify the soul.
My sense also nowadays also is though that these two things go hand in hand. The deeper understanding I have of myself. Not that human being is one thing, because it's the human being that gets in the way of experiencing the true self that I am, the spiritual self. And so these two go hand in hand. This aspect of myself as this pure child of God, and then God as that pure being. That the more I experience myself as this pure energy, this unconditional energy of love, the more I experience Baba as this pure, unconditional, constant, stable energy that's always with me, around me, holding me, guiding me, in the sense that, and the guiding for me, the experience is like a clarity in my own intellect comes. Because something, moving on in a sense to what does God do and what God doesn't do. God doesn't cure me of my illnesses, or God doesn't sort out this mess that I have around me in terms of work or sanskars or whatever it is. But how is it? How can I have the sense? Because we're very good at quoting Gyan, and we all get irritated with each other. This is something I was telling the class that I was doing yesterday, that we get irritated when somebody says, drama, something happens, and they go, drama, or something happens, or something's going to happen, and they go, leave it to Baba, leave it to Baba. And you think, hello, okay, leave it to Baba. But, and for me, it's important not to just use the language, but together with that language, I want to feel that Baba is going to take care of that. And for me, so it'd be interesting to hear how you have that sense that Baba's going to take care of it. And for me, I have to work at creating that feeling that Baba's going to take care of it. And when I do that, it's more about being quiet, not using my own head about how I think something is, or how someone is, or what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And that's, as you know, in recent time, with certain aspects of that concern both of us, I've been working on it, and I begin to have the sense that I really don't need to worry. If I really remember Baba, keep Baba at the forefront of my mind, and begin to have that faith and trust. And I'm beginning to have it, that everything was good, everything is good, everything is going to be good, but I'm still blank about it. In the sense that I don't have this thing, wow, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and so-and-so is going to come along, or these people are going to come along, and that's what's going to happen. I don't have that sense. I still have the feeling of blankness, but the feeling, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. And for me, that's what it means, that Baba is going to take care of it.
Mm. For me, there's been so many experiences in terms of seeing proof that it's God who's in charge, through right from the early days when I didn't even have a leaflet that I could actually give to people. And then, through no effort of myself or anyone else, somehow a group of people came together who were already Brahmins. They'd migrated from Bharat just about that time. And then the delegation came with no effort on our part. And again, I wasn't even thinking there could be a center in the West. And they said, well, there should be a center. And Madhuban said yes, Baba said yes. And so a center starts and it's absolutely tiny. But Daddy comes along. Again, it was beyond my imagination that Daddy, with her poor state of health, Daddy's always had poor health, her physical body. And yet Baba sends her to London. And then from one tiny, two little rooms in Tennyson Road, we get the house next door. That was God's magic. How did it happen? It happened. And
well, sorry, let me just stop you there for a moment. What is going on inside you? What are you feeling and sensing in that moment? I think now on hindsight, this is what you can say. All of these things happen. And yes, I could say that for many situations. Right. What is the feeling that goes on inside of us in that moment?
And what creates that? And at that moment, say for example, when Baba said to Daddy, yes, you go to London. I was just stunned. It was beyond my capacity to think that Daddy could come. And then Baba says, you have to go with her. And still my limited intellect is saying, okay, I'll go with her, but I have to come back with her. And I'm trying to put conditions on God. And Baba's just smiling at me. And Baba's smile is making me feel, yes, it's okay. And so again, in my limited thinking, I think Baba's agreeing that yes, when Baba calls Daddy back to London, I'll come back with her also. And so it's just amazement and wonderment at how things are happening. Things that are beyond.
But I have to add something else to this, and that is that, as you say, at that time, Baba was there in front of you, and you knew that, you know, Baba is smiling, it means something. And now, for many of us, there is no external anything that gives confirmation. Really, the confirmation is only in here. Confirmation.
For me, the confirmation keeps coming through the Muralis. Both of us have been through a challenging time with, I might as well say it, the whole subject of GRC and how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, who would be the instruments to make it happen. So every time I would think, you know, I have to really be very strong about this and say something about this. Next day, the Murali would tell me the power of love, the power of flexibility, the power of tolerance. And literally, Baba was speaking to me through the Muralis.
Mm, that's true.
And Daddy Janki was not really in the picture by then. And there was no other human being who could guide me and say, it's okay, it's going to be fine. And maybe even if they did, my reaction would have been, well, they don't know what we're dealing with. You know, so it would have been the same as yours. But Baba's Murali was speaking to me.
That's nice. I think that's a real, it's a relief in a sense for most of us to look at it like that. And so
things come up and Baba gives the answer.
Yeah.
And it's not a secret being whispered in my ear.
It is true.
And it's not even something in my head. But after a certain period of time, you begin to understand that Baba is guiding you. Baba is in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I had a difficult situation, a dilemma. And it wasn't anything to do with London this time. It was various things. And again, the message coming through, and the message was, Baba is in charge. You don't have to be concerned about it. Baba's responsible. And so when that came through, again, it brought absolute comfort and support and the feeling that what I just have to learn to do is not let my own thinking get in the way. Because we all have the habit, I think, most of us, 99% of us, overthinking.
Yes, and I have so to confess, I'm going to interrupt you again, and I have to confess that I have appreciated how you just kind of, so many things. I mean, the amount of stuff that comes at you is like phenomenal. And I don't think anybody else in the yagya has probably the amount of stuff that comes at you.
I wonder why. I really
You sit with it, and you let it evolve around you. And I think sometimes we get a bit frustrated because we think, do something, you know. But I see that with time it does resolve. It just at with time, you kind of think also there's an incredible dharana that is necessary. I see you demonstrating that dharana of patience and just trust, if you like. And I feel I'm bringing that up because I think it's important for all of us to have that sense, of course the Murali, but to have that sense that God will take care of things. We have to have that patience, and we have to have trust, and we have to have faith as well. But not faith as in it will happen in the future, here and now. That vibration and that energy of faith consoles me in this moment with this this sense of the future unraveling itself in front of me. And I know that it's a good thing.
I remember there was a situation in 1977, and I remember it very specifically because it was Dadi Prakashmani's first visit to the West. And we've been preparing with such excitement, with such love. It was a real gift from God. It was with that sort of enthusiasm that we'd invited her. The year before, Dadi Gulzar had come, and that had been absolutely brilliant. But Dadi Gulzar was one thing, and at that moment, Dadi Prakashmani was really on a different level. And she came, and everybody's expectations were being fulfilled. And there was one individual who got very upset. I can't even remember what she was upset about. But she was key at that time. Today I wouldn't say that, but at that time she was quite key. And she's not coming. And so I phone, and she's adamant she doesn't want to come. And put the phone down. We had those old-fashioned phones then. And I tell Dadiji, this is the problem, and I think I'm going to have to go to her, and it was quite a distance away, but I'm going to have to go to her and talk to her and change her mind. And Dadi looked at me and said, you don't have to do that. And I thought my duty and my love was that I should do it. And Dadi gives me drishti and then says, the best thing you can do is just remember Baba and just be where you need to be, which is here. You don't need to be rushing around and going so far away. There's a lot of things that need to happen here. You do what you need to do here, and you just send her Baba's light. And Daddy knew that individual quite well and also had a lot of love for them. But this was Daddy telling me, no, you stay. You don't have to get into action. And sure enough, that evening, she came.
Did you send her light? Is that what happened?
As Daddy was speaking, I was taking it as an instruction from Baba that this is the method to deal with it. I wouldn't have thought about it myself, but now I'm hearing it and seeing it. And so, yes, I did. But it was time. It was Daddy's love. Whatever it was, it was Baba intervening. But she came in the evening. And then we didn't speak about it. And we just took it as normal that she's there. And it was beautiful. And that's a lesson that stayed with me. And so when I'm dealing with difficult situations, I know that if I overthink or overreact, then that's going to interfere in anything further that drama can show me. And so, be still. You mentioned earlier, you have to be silent and just keep yourself with Baba, and then let Baba do what he needs to do. And so, yes, there's, one of the factors is whatever mistakes I've made, whatever things have gone up and down, my faith that this is Baba, and this is Baba's work, and all of us are Baba's family, that has never ever shaken. And so even when I see sanskars dancing around me, then what Baba said today, you see mistakes being made, but you also see the role that somebody's played in the yagya, and again, it was a lesson very early taught by Daddy. I was complaining about somebody, this, and this. And this was 1974. And I thought I was right, because this person had no idea about London, had no idea about the West. It was their first journey outside Bharat into the West, or maybe, yes, I think it was their first journey outside Bharat, full stop. And yet they were laying down the law, it should be this, it should be this, it should be this. And I thought, but they've got no idea. And so I complained to Daddy. And Daddy said, I see this person in the way that Brahma Baba saw them. And it was just 5 years after Baba was avyakt. So everything was still very, very fresh for Daddy. It's still fresh today. But especially then, can you imagine, just 5 years and everything, those memories are very alive. And when Daddy told me this, again, it was a big lesson, that see them in the way Baba sees them. And again, that mantra has been demonstrated for me by Avyakt Baba many, many times. There's a person who was living in Shakti Bhavan but was doing their own thing, and they wanted to come to Madhuban. Daddy had the authority to say to them yes, and they came to Madhuban. And it was a time of personal meeting still, and I wondered, I really wondered what Baba was going to say to them, and I was translating. And Baba is so loving, so sweet, and Baba just tells them, you're one of the original jewels. Emerge that love that you had for Baba in the beginning, and even though there's many situations around you, Baba's seeing that original love that's still shining there. And just emerge that love. And I thought, that's a lesson for me. It's not just a beautiful reminder to this individual, but how should I be with others who are not straight at the moment? They've gone off on a tangent. But Baba's not seeing those things. Baba is seeing that pure love that made them surrender to God and come to God. And it wasn't surrender that living in a center, but for them to have chosen this life at that time when they were young and they had many opportunities, it was a surrender of the intellect.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that for me, and perhaps it's my sanskara, you know, doing things here as well, but I think to a certain extent, the bhakti sense sees that, okay, God will take care of it and you kind of leave it to God. But and that's probably what I'm talking about, is probably the aspect of the practice of soul consciousness, that the work that I have to do, there is an amount of work that I have to do with myself, on myself, so that I invite God's energy to me. I draw that energy to me, in a sense creating resonance between my mind and God's mind in such a way that we are both alike, and this brings us together. And so then my feeling is that when I'm feeling like that, when I have that sense, then actually I really don't need to worry about anything. I really don't need to think about anything. I do begin to have the sense that Baba is with me, and this notion of God being Karan Karavanhar, that's when I begin to really believe that I can't do something. He will touch someone's intellect to do the right thing, and whatever gets messed up will also be something. It's just meant to be with another twist. Because I learned a nice phrase not long ago, that obstacles are a diversion in the right direction.
That's good, I like it.
Yeah, obstacles are a diversion in the right direction. Yeah, so
I'll take the courage to ask the question. And maybe because you're both grew up in the same culture, care of the daddies, how do we deal with becoming and experiencing the same fortune as you have experienced without being close to the daddies, nor really having a personal experience of Avek Bap Dada or even Sakar Baba? I think that's very important because, as I said, I like you being both Indian, with so much, you know, Indian bodies, but so much wisdom in terms of the West. But sometimes it comes to us when they say, but they have all the givens, how do I deal with it? How do I deal with that so that I can create that magic, that aspect in my life? I'll just share a few experiences. When I began to have that thing in my mind, I said, God needs all kinds of instruments with different backgrounds. Let me just be the instrument and let me look at it from a point of view that this is my condition and therefore God is to touch me in the same condition as I am. Because I think I like what you said, Manda, that your experience of Backbap Dada, but soccer experience of Sister Jent is quite different. So we are in different generation. But you also have the care of the daddies, and you're very close to Backbap Dada and Sakar Baba. We don't have that. So I have to deal with that differently. To become the instrument that I have to be for myself first, to be able to actually increase in that faith that I can do God's work. First, I have to experience God's work in myself, and at the same time do that. Anything that's very important to understand that we are given a situation, it's not the external that we see, but how we're using our own condition to be able to go into the essence of truth, who God is, and how do I relate to that God.
I think that people who actually have been studying Muralis all over the world, and it's true that not so many have had the experience of personal connection with the Dadis in the way that both of us have had. But I think Baba's Muralis, Sakar Muralis, the Avyat Revision Course Muralis, and the fresh Muralis that we used to get, all of these things are quite incredible. And I think that people who actually study the Murali find ways in which they can experience Baba, not just in terms of yoga, but also in terms of the help that they experience through their daily life in different ways. And so many people come to me and share their experience in amazing ways. And really, it's God's help that they're experiencing. And the things that Avyat Bap Dada has said about Baba's children from foreign lands is incredible. And I remember how much Baba loved everyone and spoke of that with a huge amount of joy. And Baba will talk about how you've had to jump over the obstacles, the obstacle of coming from a foreign land and language, the obstacle of coming from a different cultural background and religion. And so Baba gave extra, extra, extra love. And I think that extra love is still open and available. And so I think that two things, the practice of yoga, what Mandaven is talking about now is the practice of soul consciousness. And that's come to us through the Muralis. And if I think about the Muralis of January, just these 3 months, January especially, but February and now March also, how much time has Baba given to remind us that A, soul consciousness is vital, B, remembrance is important. Baba doesn't use the word meditation, Baba uses the word yad, remembrance. And so Baba's been really, really underlining that these are the things we need to give attention to. And then, what you see and don't see. Hear no evil, see no evil. So what's going on in here? And when you spoke about soul consciousness and that preparation, for me it's the same thing, but the lesson that I was learning in that story from 1977 was, don't think. You're thinking too much. And B, you're doing. You're into, again, that thing about doing something. And then C, you're forgetting that Baba's in charge. And so these are lessons that I'm sure everybody has learned either from the Muralis or by their own experience by now, right? And if you hadn't had an experience of yoga directly, nobody would be here. There's been everybody who's had a direct experience of yoga. This is why you save your money, you take the time and trouble to come all the way. And I think it was yesterday, somebody was telling me that she was very surprised that some people were saying, no, they don't want to go to Madhuban. Anyway, we can see the transmission here. Anyway, the daddies are not so available. Good news, daddy's on her way to Shantivan. So, so that was a total surprise to me when I heard it, because I had no idea. So God works in mysterious ways. But she's coming today to Shantivan, so I'm sure she's either going to call you all down there or come up herself, something. But my point is that through all your own personal experiences of having had things that take you beyond those hurdles and obstacles, you're here. And this person I was speaking to said the experience she had with the transmission, when was it, on the 3rd of March, was incredible. And yes, she sees the transmission when she's back in her own country, but somehow it really felt really, really, really Baba here and now. And so, just like when Baba became avyakt, and some people said, well, how can you take drishti through a photograph? And it's not a photograph, it's actually Baba finding a vehicle for you to still your mind, sit, take drishti. And then, it's not a photograph, but you're preparing yourself to be able to receive what Baba wants to give you. And so Baba's still reaching each and every one of us. That's why we are here. You wouldn't be here otherwise. And whatever transformation you've experienced in your life, it could not have happened just with your own effort. Whether it was giving up smoking, whether it was changing your diet, whatever it is that you gave up, but you would have tried before giving it up and it didn't work. And then you started to connect with Baba, Baba gave you the power, and it happened very fast, very easily. So we are here because Baba is here in a practical way. When people ask me, but what's so special about Raj Yoga, that Raj Yoga spread across the world in 45 years? Because literally there isn't another situation like this. Different people have different things going on, but to have people who are committed, people who have surrendered their intellects to God and are doing God's work, it's quite incredible what has happened just in a short space of time. And I say, A, there's clarity in understanding. Any question you have is answered. And not by humans, it's answered from the Murali. And if we become an instrument to share an answer with you, it's because we've taken something from the Murali. But secondly, Raj Yoga offers a practical experience. There's a formula. You can't just get into an experience or say, God, I want. No. Step by step by step, you do this, this is the result. You do this, this is the result. Today, Baba's saying that if you want to experience the inheritance of happiness and power, do the good karma. If you've done the good karma, it brings the immediate return. And so every Murali tells us how to. Not just a theory, but practical. And if I'm not experiencing happiness and power, what's the reason? Baba told me. And so what should I do? What should I not do? It's not so much what God will do or not do. More it's what I must do and what I mustn't do. And if I'm following the formula that God's prescribed, I'm going to get the results. And so, but what I tell people out there is, meditation, Raj Yoga offers a practical experience. And thirdly, the power that you get offers transformation. And so, this is the reality of why we're all here. We wouldn't be here otherwise. So, thank you for interjecting that. But
I think,
okay, direct intervention.
संगम का स्वर्णिम युग है शिव पिता विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे
two or three questions. Not far from what they have experienced, maybe from the question that we are not the same from this culture, but as ones who are born outside, to make it more relevant to us. Okay, so, one is courage, come.
It's Isabel. Here.
I was just interested to hear what you were going to say about Karen Karavanha, and you know, how far is it from us becoming pure and the quality of our dharana in the equation in what Baba is doing? So what's really playing?
This morning I was asked the same question with different words, different language by a new person. And my experience of Baba Karan Karavanhar is I have to get connected with Baba to be able to be an instrument in that way. And where I think I am doing something, then things get stuck. But if I can keep that awareness of just being connected and let Baba's energy work through me, then that's easy. Then things work out very differently. And others can feel Baba's presence also. Not just me saying that it's Baba doing it, but others can feel it.
Okay. You know, when we connect with Baba, the ego moves aside. And then the purest form of us is working. And so I understand what you're saying, but I have the feeling that Baba is a lot more passive than we think, but an incredible power that is with us. And it's us beyond that will connect with him. But somehow it's us, but we can't have the ego of it's me doing it, that is actually coming into the motion. Because he doesn't get any karmas, does he? He doesn't come into karma. So I know it's very subtle meaning, but it helps because as Mandavan was saying, is that we don't have these experiences, these powerful experiences of Madhavan and everything, and we're out there. And we need to somehow, if we clarify how it works, we know when we slip, we know where it goes, we know where it comes, because sometimes we want Baba to work through us, but it doesn't come. So is it just moving and an aspect of dharana, purity, moving the ego aside, I take from God, and coming into any action without the ego, then it would be Karan Karavanha, huh?
I really feel that for me it's very much the fact that it's God working directly, not just giving me the power to do something, but God working directly. Why? Because then it becomes limitless. You know, you've heard of this term, compassion deficit. So how much can I give? I'm going to get exhausted, I'm going to get tired, and then I say, enough is enough, I don't want to do anything more. How many Brahmins reach that point where they get exhausted and tired and say, no more? You've seen it. And so the only way to stay beyond that is to be able to really have that sense that it's Baba's love that's reaching out, it's Baba's power that's working. And yes, I'm an instrument and I get many blessings for that. I don't miss out on anything, but I don't tire myself out. And my daddy used to say, I'm miserly. And we know how generous she is. You know, her heart is bigger than anything. But she would use this term very specifically. She'd say, I'm very miserly about using my own energy. I want Baba to use his energy, because otherwise I'll be limited and I'll be exhausted. And so I want to acquire more energy rather than use my energy. So I treat it on that level.
I think, though, sometimes the language gets in the way. And that what I mean by that is that when we say Baba is doing it, it's like somehow we're expecting some kind of proactivity on Baba's side. But it's not... When Isabel is using the word passive, my sense is that actually all I'm doing is remembering Baba and really bringing Baba's presence, but actually feeling that presence and know that that's doing the work. And it's not that Baba is doing, it's this language. I feel that sometimes the language is limiting, and so we take it so literally when we use language like this. And so it's true, when Dadi gives words to what she's doing, it's great, and I think it's helpful that, you know, why should I use my energy? Okay, I remember Baba comes and Baba makes something happen. It happens because Baba came. Something happened because of that. And I think that's the key thing here in so many different ways, that it happens automatically. Even this language of, you know, giving and taking or giving and receiving, I'm not sure that Baba sits there going, I'm going to give you and I'm not going to give you, or I'm giving to everyone. Do you think that Baba sits there thinking, I'm giving? I don't think that Baba's sitting there thinking he's giving. Mm-hmm. He just is. Yes. So when you talk about what does he do and what he does not do, and having said that, we all have probably had that experience too, where you really feel like there's an intervention. I have had that experience. It's not that I haven't had. I have had the experience that there's an intervention that's happened, which is like there's beyond my rational thinking. And so he has intervened. But generally, I don't sit there waiting for him to intervene. I am aware that I remember his vibration, his purity, his truth, his energy makes it happen. And so my job really is to be able to do that so that it is enabled.
Okay. Have a little smile inside. Because I think I'm hearing it from you, the word presence for me is very relevant. It's when everything that I learn from God comes very active every moment. And it's translated into the virtues and power and the relationship you built at the moment with another person. I think that's where, for me, that's where we should be at this point in time. Because I think the way we are very lucky we met Baba, we got directly from the daddies, but how would they get from God? It's really our presence, our ability to listen with compassion. And it is very, very important. But I am also responsible for my own self. So self-care is very important. I agree with Daddy. I call it selfish benevolence. I will only serve because I'm actually filling up myself. Because sometimes the benevolence in the Christian way is sacrifice. I said, no, I'm doing it because it empowers me. I practice what
what Baba is to me. And I think this is when self-care for BKs should actually be. We do it with pleasure, and we see it, we're becoming perfect by the presence that we actually create. And we are enjoying it because it's enjoyable. There's no tiredness.
I think this is an interesting aspect too, because sometimes when we talk about virtues and powers, we start to be more specific in terms of this virtue, this power, I needed this and it didn't happen. So we consider ourselves to be failure in that sometimes. And but when you think about it in terms of either presence or a pleasure or a joy or just this absolute connectedness with Baba in such a way that there is no, this joy of that connectedness will enable the right energy or right kind of discernment to come in the situation, and so I will apply myself to the way that I need to apply myself. And it's only in hindsight I sense that I will say, oh yeah, I was discerning then. Oh yeah, I was tolerant then. I'm not sitting there thinking, right, I'm going to be tolerant now. Because it's not going to be natural. Mm. Afterwards I think, oh yeah, I was tolerant just then. And Baba's remembrance brought me that tolerance. I didn't sit there calculating, why? Do I need tolerance? Do I need this? Do I need that? I don't sit there doing that. And this is where sometimes I think Brahmins get a little bit caught, thinking, did I do that right? Did I not do that right? It's just being with Baba, the right thing occurs. And afterwards you'll say, ah, that happened. I think.
A few more minutes, maybe 10 more minutes, because I know some of you.
Becky, I don't think there's 10 more minutes.
okay. One more question. No? So we can finish with meditation. Okay.
Shanti.
Can I just summarize two steps? Really, really, the practice of soul consciousness and being in that experience of the soul. And remembering Baba with love so that you feel Baba's presence. So really, it's these two things that are magic. Om Shanti.
Thank you to Sister Jensi and Sister Amanda.